I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
And we are
Liberty Ghost Hunters! Coming to you live from Liberty Ghost Hunters HQ, a.k.a.
Our dining room! I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana.
I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
And we are
Liberty Ghost Hunters. Coming to you live from Liberty Ghost Hunters HQ, a.k.a.
Our dining room. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another podcast from Liberty Ghost Hunters. And around the table tonight, we got a full crew here. Starting to my left.
Jen.
Joe.
Diana.
Brittany. Stephanie.
Brian.
Stuart.
Thanks, everybody, guys, for hanging out with us tonight. Now, for our listeners, we have a special calling guest. John is with us, and we'll bring him on the phone. And he has some stories to share with us this evening. So, we'll go ahead and break right into that here. Are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm here. John, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to being with us tonight on the podcast. So why don't you go ahead and explain to the listeners some of the things that you've experienced.
So I'm going to basically talk about a trip that I took to Dudley Town back in 1993. Some of the stuff that went on that night. There was actually a couple trips up there. It wasn't just one trip. And I'm not going to talk about how to get there. Basically, right now, you can't go there. You'll get in serious trouble.
Yeah, I know the state police are monitoring that regularly.
Yeah. So I was just going to talk about when I went up there, we went up there with a few people, and what we experienced. And honestly, I don't ever want to go back there.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear these stories, but the hairs on my back of my neck are already standing up. Dudley Town is not a good place.
No, and anybody who lives in Connecticut knows about Dudley Town. That's one place you don't want to go to. No. I know a lot of people have tried to go there. Some have been, especially in the recent years, have been arrested for trespass, things like that. And I know there's a neighborhood watch set up. So if you get anywhere near close, the Connecticut State Police are right there to get you. So.
All right, John.
John, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So compared to like other abandoned places or notoriously haunted places, why is it that like Dudley Town so protected by the police and stuff compared to like anywhere else that you would find?
Well, back in 93, there wasn't much internet, if at all. Mm-hmm. And the rumors kind of just trickled down about this place in Connecticut. So I don't even know how we found out about a bunch of friends who were young. Early 20s, and then we decided to go up there, and there's not much to see up there, but there's just a lot of feelings going on up there, and the neighbors. When I tell my story, I mean, I can get into it a little bit. So the first time we went up there was probably before October, September.
Okay.
And went up there with two groups of friends, two different cars, tried to drive up Dark Entry Road. You can drive up Dark Entry Road to a point. There's a few houses on there. I believe there's more houses now. But to get a point at the top of Dark Entry Road, you can't drive anymore. You got to turn around. So we turned around. We had two different cars. We're coming back down Dark Entry Road, and there's a man in the middle of the road with a shotgun pointing at us.
Oh, nice. Oh, oh,
a real man or a ghost?
No, it was a real human.
Okay.
And it just goes to show you what lengths they're doing to protect their area up there. I mean, in his defense, it was midnight. So I guess if you had a bunch of kids driving up your road in that time of the night, you'd probably be a little upset.
Yeah.
So he told us just to get out of there. He already called the police. So... unfortunately, his car was blocking ours. It was an old 70s Cadillac. So he gets in his car and he tries to turn around and he gets stuck. So we're thinking to ourselves, all right, he's stuck. What are we going to do? He had a shotgun. We're like, the best thing to do is just help him get unstuck. So we get out of the car and we get him unstuck, and he drives into his down the road into his house. And then there's two state cops waiting for us.
Oh, nice. Oh, how'd that go over?
Well, they it was good cop. We had the good cop. He basically said to us, you know, you can go hiking up there. At the time, the area was open. You know, as long as you go during the day and you park on the other side of the trail, because it's used to be part of the Appalachian Trail, but they actually moved it because of what goes on up there.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, that they moved the trail.
Yeah, you used to be able to camp up there.
Oh.
Oof. I don't want candles there. It's
weird. So that cop told us, you know, come back during the day. You're welcome to go up there. Just don't bother the neighbors. And the other car, they told the other kids that get the hell out of here and don't ever come up here again. So I don't know. To answer your question, it seems like it's very protected up there. I think, you know, with the internet now, I'm sure the neighbors are just at their end of their wits up there.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for them, yeah.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, John.
What happened with your first real experience going into Dudley Town?
Well, so after that experience, we went home, regrouped, waited about a month, then went up there with three different sets of cars at night again. And I don't know if you remember flashlight technology in the early 90s wasn't that great. We had those throwaway flashlights.
Yep.
Yes.
So we bought a bunch of those, and I think we had one solid mag light between about nine people. And I don't think we had enough flashlights, to be honest with you. So we took our hike. So we parked like the state cops told us to park. It was pouring rain. It was cold. It was November. And we hiked up, you know, we walked up the dark entry road. We avoided all the houses. We were really quiet. We didn't turn our lights on. And then you got to hike straight up the hill.
Okay.
You got to cross a brook. I don't remember the name of the brook. If you Google map it, you can see it. And there's like a waterfall kind of. Looks like there was a wheel there, you know, like a old mill wheel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, it's not like there a water anymore. Wheel.
So that's all fine. It's just a hell of a hike. It's up, you know, I think it's 1,000 feet straight up the hill.
Cool.
It's the altitude.
Wow, that's a heck of a hike.
And actually, it just felt like we were hiking for a long time, really long time. The rain didn't help sliding, you know, you're walking up the hill, but we're young. So we didn't get any sense of anything going on as we're hiking up the hill. We actually felt pretty good, a little tired. But we stopped it up there, and all of a sudden things got really quiet. And we got onto what looked like an old road. The way the trees arced over this road, if you go online, it's funny. You see the arc of these trees over the road in Dudley Town of any old picture you see up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've actually seen that picture.
That's exactly
yeah.
what I seen. Really? So we walked down that road. We ended up seeing some foundations, you know, like old ones, like really hard to see, that you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And what we thought was a well in the middle of the kind of the middle of the road. But the weird thing is it got really quiet when we got up there. When we were going up there, the rain and this wind was howling, and we heard some owls and some birds and like animals. Mm-hmm. As soon as we got up to that area, we heard nothing. The rain stopped, the wind stopped.
Oh, Jesus.
It got completely silent. And this, probably, we're looking at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Well, so usually at night you hear all the
bugs, crickets.
Yeah, all the things coming out.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was November, but there was, you know, you heard a lot of stuff on our way up there, and then as soon as we got there, it was eerily quiet, and you felt cold. And then what it felt like, so we're walking around, there's probably 8 or 9 of us, our flashlights started to slowly fade, you know, maybe because they were the cheap throwaway flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
The only light that was holding strong was the mag light.
Okay.
And So it just felt like we're kind of getting disoriented. We're trying to find a way back down. Because it's the road is not that clear. Like, you walk up this hill, and you end up running into this road. And if you walk all the way to the end of, like, where there's just, like, one of those metal gates that kind of says Dark Entry Association. At the time, you were allowed up there during the day.
Right.
It was a nature preserve. But so we ran into that, but we just couldn't find our way down, like, get out of there. It was really, really strange.
Did anybody get, like, lightheaded or anything? Or?
What's that,
Diana? Like, did you feel, like, lightheaded or?
Just, like, in a fog.
Wow.
And it was a foggy, rainy night, but, you know, there was, like, an overcast fog the way it looked out. There wasn't much of a moon that night. It was really dark. And we just couldn't find the road where we came up there. So it felt like we were up there for a long time. And then one of the kids was falling around making wolf noises. But then we were all together, and then we started hearing some noises. And off in the distance, you know, I'm not going to say what they were, but we did see some sets of eyes off in the distance. Could have been animals. But then kind of seen red eyes, which kind of made us a little nervous.
I would be nervous in that situation myself.
Is there animals that we know of that may have red eyes when light is upon them?
Not that
usually
I'm
usually they're mirror,
especially if they had crappy flashlights.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Wolves don't do that.
Yeah. But I thought, like, most, like, even cats and stuff, they usually get that, like, mirrored look.
Mm.
Like that flashy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but they're usually
red?
Like
it's
a.
It's usually like green.
Coyote,
like
a glassy well,
that's what
eye.
I mean. It's usually like a light.
A yellowy
color.
Yeah. Not a red.
So, yeah, we, a few of us seen the red eyes. Some of us thought, you know, we're a lion. But then, actually, at one point, everyone remembers it, seeing something off in the distance and hearing something. Then the wind started really, really. I mean, I felt like we're up there for 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
It just felt like we're up there forever. And it took a long time to get up there because we're going up the hill. So, you know, we kind of walked around just check things out. There wasn't, like I said, there's not a lot up there. And then we just felt this big wind coming, and then all of a sudden, it felt like a push, like pushed us out down the road. All of a sudden, the next thing you know, we're on Dark Entry Road, and walking down, and it just felt like we just got down to the bottom of the hill in like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, now see, I know a couple people myself who've gone to Dudleytown back in the early 90s, 90, 91, 90, between 90 and 93, who had the same experience where it seemed like it took them forever to get there, but when they were leaving, it was like somebody was pushing them out of the forest and they were back on the road within, it seemed, just minutes.
Oh, wow. So how long were you actually up there for?
So by the time we got back to the car, you know, we wanted to sneak by the houses on Dark Country Road. We didn't want to get in any trouble again. But all our flashlights were dead, and we were just kind of hauling at that point. So we finally got back to the car, and I think it was like 4 a.m., you know. But we were up there for a long time, and we just felt lost for a long time. We just couldn't. It was like, it almost felt like a dream state we were in up there. And then on the way down, two of my cousins, they decided to drink some water out of the brook.
Ew.
And that'll play into the other story later.
All right.
But, yes, yeah, so we got down there, and, you know, we were up there for a good amount of time, but just getting pushed out like that from dead silence to a really heavy, strong presence and wind was enough to say that I don't really ever want to go back up there.
Yeah.
Other than the threat of getting arrested now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting arrested is nothing compared to what you could bring home.
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
Ironically, it seems as though there was a descendant, the last name of Dudley, that was descended from England. There's a Dudleytown, England also.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a Dudleytown, England.
Didn't know that. Wow.
A lot of the Connecticut towns are named after towns in England.
Well, because yes. They settled it, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, you know, on the way home, we drove home. It's a pretty good ride from up Cornwall, Connecticut, down to New Haven area. You know, we got back pretty fast. It felt, went home. And then all of us were covered in Dudleytown mud. And then we heard a rumor that you don't want to take any of the dirt or rocks with you or anything with you. So we're covered in this mud, and everyone's kind of like, we're talking like, oh, we're covered in Dudleytown mud. It's going to be, give us bad luck, excuse me. And, you know, the thing was, the next day I had my clothes and I washed them, because it was just so much mud in my shoes. And the jeans just seemed to never get the mud out.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. They were just always kind of dirty.
Hmm.
I don't, that was kind of weird. But then some bad luck started setting in for most members of the group, except for the two that drank the water.
Really?
Wait, so the two that actually drank the water didn't have bad luck?
No. Everyone else had a... I ended up having a really bad car accident. My other friend flipped his car over. A couple job losses. There was one of the girls came. One of the girls ended up with a pneumonia after that. But maybe that was because of the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. That's pretty much my story. I don't really have too much else. I mean, I know there's a lot of history behind it. I didn't get into the history or anything like that. Just straight up giving you my experience.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, Dudleytown's got so much weirdness and things that go, we'll say, bump in the night. And like I said earlier, people I know, you know, have had very similar instances that you've had. And the one big thing is you don't bring anything home from there. Otherwise, stuff will happen. So it's one place, even I think, me personally, if it was open, I would not
want to go. Oh, we're not
going.
Same. I would not
want to go there, even if it was open.
No, thanks.
When I was younger, I was interested, but now, not at all.
No.
How long after your visit to Dudleytown would you say that your bad luck started to take place?
Oh, immediately, like within that week, like within days. Car accident. My friend flipped his car over probably 2 days later. One of the cars we drove up there with. That was pretty quick.
Do you feel that some of that curse still follows you?
I don't feel it follows me. I think it's out of my life. But I do, and it doesn't happen that much anymore, but I used to have a lot of dreams about camping up there. Huh. It was really, really strange. Like, I would have a dream that, you know, I went up there and I went camping.
Creepy.
I never did, but it was just a dream that I had. And I always got that push feeling at the end of the dream.
Oh, wow.
To push out or, like, pushing you towards it?
Push out, you know, go up there, go camping, get up. And the dream was kind of the same. You went up there, you went camping, everything was fine during the day. At night, in the middle of the sleeping, you would get up, you would feel this wind and the push, and you would pack up all your stuff and you'd get out.
It
was the same dream.
Huh.
Hmm. Definitely creepy.
That's interesting. Sure. Yeah.
Maybe it was just like a warning to, like, never go back again kind of a thing. Mm. I don't know.
Afterwards, did you feel like spirit was like watching you?
I don't feel that. No, I don't feel that. I just felt that that there was something put on us, like, you know, like a curse. Mm. Kind of. I don't even know if it was a curse, but something, just a string of bad luck. I don't feel like anything was present that came from there. The only time I ever felt that presence was when I had the dream, you know, and I had the recurring dream, and I haven't had that dream in a long time.
You'll have it tonight.
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Did you have any other stories you wanted to share or experiences?
Well, I mean, I have plenty of paranormal experiences in my life just because I don't know. Maybe it's the family I belong to. but, you know, growing up, I had some really traumatic ghost experiences in my great-grandmother's house.
Really?
Yeah. That was pretty bad. And a lot of them I don't remember. My mother basically remembers them for me, but there is one that sticks out. There's a woman coming out of the closet and telling me that this was her house. And that was a reoccurrence when I lived in that house for a long time.
Oh, wow.
But there's a lot of history with that house. What I do believe now that whatever was haunting the house is quiet. But the house definitely has a lot of history. I know my grandfather was in the basement once, and he went to turn around and said, hey, Ma, you know, his wife. And he turned around, and it wasn't his wife. It was just the head levitating in the basement. And he got the heck out of there quick.
Yeah, I think I would too.
The woman that came out of the closet, she came every single night. What kind of was it? Like, you could hear her and physically see her, or was it you felt her and felt you could hear her?
No, I physically seen her and heard her.
Was she aggressive, or was she just trying to let you know? Like,
no, she wasn't mean about it. She just said it was her house, her room. And she'd just tell me that every night, and I would get scared. I'd go under the covers, but it was pretty realistic.
That's traumatizing when you're a little kid. You don't understand.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No. You know. You definitely don't understand that when that's happening.
It's kind of weird that she would have the same message every single night.
Well, because he wasn't listening to her. You know, maybe she would just like him because, you know, he was little and she could relate. Maybe she wasn't. It wasn't necessarily mean. She just said, hey, it's my, you know, this is my, you know how grandma would say, you know, this is my this is my that. Maybe she was just saying, you know, oh, this was my room. This is my house.
Got it.
You know.
Yeah, that house was, there's many, many documented experiences at that house. And I'm glad you're not, I know that the owners of the house expressed to you that, you know, everything's quiet now. They don't want to stir anything up so that they don't want you coming and investigating anything.
Yeah. We're not there to cause trouble. We're there to solve it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if nothing's happening or they feel comfortable, there's no reason to go out.
Does anything strange happen to you in the house you're in? Because maybe, you know, you have that openness that's open to paranormal, that you might feel stuff more than other people.
Well, the current house I'm in, I honestly feel pretty safe. You know, I don't feel any danger here. But I do, once in a while, we have what's called the ghost cat. I call it the ghost cat. You see it out of the corner of your eyes running around downstairs. But I don't have any evil experiences. I mean, I don't really want to get into where I work, but I work in the museum industry. And just wanted to mention one time that I was up. They had a lot of Indonesian Bali artifacts, which are very spiritual, and they have a lot of divination books, and all, they're very spiritual people, the Balinese, that area of the world.
Right.
And one night, it was dark, it was late, and I heard somebody speaking to me in a different language. I can't recognize it. And this was the oddest thing. So that happened to me, and I never felt right working in that area of that museum. So I would always avoid it. I would always stay on the outskirts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week later, a woman came in to me and she says, "Do you hear things here?" And I said, "Yeah, I do actually." And I told her the story, and she says, "Well, you have something extra to you." And she handed me this card that said "You." H-U. I had no idea what that meant. Just H-U.
Maybe that means you got the shine.
I don't know.
Like,
that
in
was
the
a really
shine.
Strange experience.
Yeah, so if you flip it, it's
I think she was telling you got the shine.
Maybe like he's a creeper shine. Too.
Yeah.
But that was pretty interesting. Did have another experience, and I, like I said, I don't want to tell you where I worked,
No, please. We don't just ask that.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a lot of Revolutionary War artifacts and a lot of famous people buried in that building. And one night I seen something just come out of one wall and walk through the other wall.
Mm.
Well, when you nice. Work in an old building and when there's haunted objects, I mean, there's objects. Things are stuck to the objects.
Yeah,
they carry energy.
So they're not going to leave. It's just, it's a residual. It's like a record player.
Right. Yeah, but it's definitely Revolutionary War, that much energy would be attached to those.
It's definitely
items.
Off-putting when you see it, but, it's really, I don't think things like that are there to harm. It's just, it's a replay.
Mm-hmm. But it'll get your attention the first time you see that.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
It's pretty common for, especially really old objects, items to have some sort of connection with their previous owner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes wherever they end up, the spirit follows.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that happens a lot at the Masonic Lodges, too.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we just had, a couple of months ago, we had, John, to touch on what you're talking about, we had got contacted by a brother Mason who had a friend of his who's also a Mason had this Bible he got from his father, and somehow this Masonic Bible wound up, but weird things were happening in the house. So I got a phone call, can you help? So I asked him a bunch of questions and told him, look, you need to take this thing, put it back in the lodge and leave it be. You put it back in the lodge, stuff stopped. So things can definitely get attached to items, especially,
Gettysburg,
Revolutionary War, Civil War, things like that. Anything with a war or big tragedy energy,
Me and Brittany used to have this 1800s poetry book, and it was on our bookshelf. Our friend gave it to us. He found an antique shop. He was like, I think you guys would like this.
Which is true. We did.
We did.
We're like, wow, this is so cool.
We loved it. So this thing was, so old it was almost taped together. But, so I guess it was one night, Brittany was in her room, and, the light was shutting off by itself. Books were when I've been in there, books have fallen off my bookcase.
What happened was, we were laying in bed, and we were watching scary movies or, scary stories. And then all of a sudden, the light was off. All of a sudden, the light turned on. And let's just say we stopped listening to scary stories.
We also we got rid of that book.
Really?
Yeah.
We had to. It was just,
causing a lot of stuff. Things were moving in the room. Oof.
That's crazy.
Well, thank you, John, for your stories. It's nice that you came on the podcast.
Yes, thank you very much for sharing your stories
with
us and our listeners.
Hey, you're welcome. And, another time I could tell you a different story, but today I'll leave you at the Dudleytown story.
Excellent.
I think that you should probably grab one of the other guys that went up there, and he has probably definitely more stories.
All right, you'll have to put him in contact with us.
Yeah, please.
I will do that. That's it.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great night.
Yes. All right, have a great night.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
So, listeners, we'll take a break and regroup and then come back after this.
I gotta pee. John, I think the fish tank is...
And we are back. That was a great first segment. It was nice that John was able to reach out to us and share his story of Dudleytown. That is definitely one place that I do not personally ever want to go near. I've been doing this, 13, 14 years now, and that is one place on my do not go list.
I agree.
For no amount of money.
That'd be more what I'd be scared of. I'd be afraid of paying a fine.
I'm not even worried about the fine.
For me, it's the hike.
For me, it's the hike.
It's the hike.
No.
For me, it's the curse.
Yeah, or whatever you want to call it.
I think the hike is a curse.
I'm with Stephanie on this one.
The whole darn package doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no. I had a friend when we talked about this years ago, and him and I were talking about, and he had gone back to Dudleytown in the late 80s. We were talking about Dudleytown and things and how I'm a paranormal investigator. And he walked in there, got about 20, 30 feet in, and his watch stopped. He had an automatic watch, so you have to manually wind it, and he had a winder. Every time you shake your wrist, it winds it, it keeps going. This thing stopped.
Huh, so it doesn't have a battery.
No, no battery, it just stopped.
But I'm curious, did it start again when he left?
You're getting ahead of me.
Okay.
So he tells me, he walks in 20 feet, everything went quiet. I mean, like John described, everything went quiet, nothing. No breeze, and it had been breezy a little bit. Walking in there, you can hear the trees rustling. Walks in, and everything just went dead quiet, like pin drop. He turned right around, walked back to his car. He sat in his car. His watch did start right back up.
If so, would you please illuminate the red light?
Give us a knock on the hutch.
Well,
anyhow. Nothing. Okay.
Well, so finish your story, and then I want to tell about the experience he got in this house.
He got back to the car, like I said, and his watch turned back on. And, you know, the birds came. You know, he could hear all the birds and the breeze and everything. And he never went back. He was like, no. Because I, years ago, was talking about it, and before they closed it completely down, he's like, no, you don't want to go there. That's when I found out that they moved the Appalachian Trail. They actually moved it around Dudleytown. They used to cut through it, and they literally physically moved the trail out of Dudleytown and around it.
That's absolutely crazy that a town actually recognizes that it's so haunted that they have to move the public out of there.
It's not just the state. It's the U.S. government runs the Appalachian Trail because it goes from
Maine.
Georgia all the way up to Maine. It's a long trail. And there's certain sections, you know, you could, I know.
Imagine if people didn't know.
Walking that whole
thing. And they were just sleeping in Dudleytown and getting cursed.
Oh,
there was actually, I think, at least one or two freedom of information requests put out.
Mm-hmm. I've been having some issues in this house. So the other night I went to sleep, and when I woke up I felt like someone was standing next to the bed, and there's not room a lot on my side of the bed because I got a treadmill so I could exercise on my lunch break. I felt like there was a figure that was just all shadow. I don't know if I was like in and out of it, but the next night I felt facing the treadmill, which is opposite of John.
Mm-hmm.
So John and I were back to back, or he was on his back and I wasn't facing John. Somebody physically pushed me.
They tried to roll her over.
With two hands, not like one hand, like pushed me towards John. And I actually woke up and I was kind of incoherent. So I said, John, I know it wasn't you, but someone pushed me. And he's like, I didn't push you. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't even be from your direction. They pushed me towards you.
And I fell back to sleep, so I didn't even remember that conversation. I get up before she does her work. I go upstairs, make sure everybody's up for school, for work, and everything else. I go walking in, and Diana's like, did you push me? She's like, no. Did you come around the bed two hands and try to roll me over? I said, no, that's the first time I'm getting up all night. I slept like a brick that night. And she's like, well, that's weird, because I was facing the treadmill, and it felt like somebody was trying to push me over to you. And I'm like, well, maybe you were going to fall off the bed, and then they were trying to push it back on. I don't know. She woke out of, like I said, out of a sound sleep. Did I hit you? Did I hit you? Did I punch you? Did I punch you? There's blood everywhere. There's blood everywhere. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I look at her, and she's right back out sleeping. No, and I'm like, what the hell was that about?
I've been having some wild experience.
That morning, I get up, got ready for work, logged in, do my thing, say good morning to everybody, make sure they're up. And I'm like, do you remember what you said? Do you remember anything from last night? And she goes, no. Why? What's going on? I said, you don't remember waking me up frantically? She goes, no. So I explained to her what she said to me. And the look on Diana's face, it was total disbelief. She's like, I really said, I said, yeah. She goes, well, did I hit you? I said, no. You were just tapping me frantically to wake me up. And then I look at you and I said, no, there's no blood. You didn't punch me. She's right back out again. And then that's the next night. She tells me in the morning.
I've never had that happen before.
No.
At first I thought it's like, you know, your child gets, it's like if one of the boys didn't feel good in the middle of the night. Or sometimes, John and I go to bed early because we have to get up early.
Well, I got
to
be up at
5:30.
All right, so we go to bed like 9:30, 10. But yeah, the boys sometimes stay up till, if it's on a weekend, you know, we stay up a little later. But like sometimes my older one stays up till like 12. So if they, or the younger one sometimes has trouble getting to sleep. If he has trouble getting to sleep, he comes over and he pushes me like that to wake me up.
Right.
But that kid was dead asleep. It wasn't him. Definitely wasn't him at all.
So yeah, just weird stuff going on. That was what, Tuesday night?
Yeah. But then the other morning,
you know, I always joke around saying that, you know, when I get a buzzing in my ear, oh, somebody's talking about me. So my ear rang for maybe 30 seconds. It was done. I figure, okay, you know, I'm 45, maybe, you know, a little bit of tinnitus, whatever. And then it went away. Well, Diana goes up to the bathroom, comes back down. I'm sitting in the living room at that point because I'm done with work. And I'm just on my phone. And she goes, it's the weirdest thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
And I thought it was the radiator hissing. But it was like, whoosh, in one ear for a good 5 minutes.
Like, white. And the best way Diana could describe it to me was like, she was listening to a white noise make.
So I don't know if something's trying to contact me. So I have, you know, laid down the rules that, you know, if you need to contact me, come to me in a dream, tell me what you have to say, you know, but you can't physically touch or hit or touch me because that's out of the rules.
And then, of course, that night. And you can't do
it during work time.
We've got a lot of weird things going on this past week. And for the next podcast, for all you listeners, there were, let's just say, the DC haunting podcast we did, or at least I found, quite a few EVPs that we will be sharing with.
See, here's a good one. There's been occasions where I'm, and usually if I'm not working, I'll just wear my shirts untucked.
Right.
But a lot of times I'll just be standing still, mm-hmm. and I feel like something pulls down on my shirt.
Really?
Hmm. It's just weird. It's happened a couple of times where I'm just standing, I just feel like this little
tug. Someone playing with you. Trickster.
Could be. So, Stu, you mentioned this story you always talk about, and since we're doing stories tonight, you want to talk about that time up in Prospect?
Well, most know that the better part of 30 years I've been a musician, and more so a church organist, and I've performed in many different churches around the state and outside of the state of Connecticut. 13 years ago, back in 2008, it was at the end of May. The church I was playing at the time had no air conditioning, and I was there by myself. It was probably 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, somewhere around there. And okay. I typically practice it at night, one, because it's quiet and very little distraction. So on this particular evening, it was like really, really hot and oppressive, like to the point where I had windows open in the sanctuary and there was just absolutely no air movement.
Ugh, I hate really like that.
So,
yeah, the old eight. Easy, hot, and humid.
So the console kind of faced out across from the communion table on the other side of the choir loft. I kept feeling like I was seeing something out of the corner of my eye, like somebody standing there. And again, there was no air movement. It was probably in the 90s. It was really oppressive. I kept feeling like this figure was, I could see this figure out of the corner of my eye. And my skin just, but the hairs on my arms stood up, and I began to get chills. So I abruptly got up, looked around, and decided I had had enough, and I shut off the lights and left.
Okay.
The other problem was I didn't shut the lights off in the whole building, so I called the pastor the next, you know, later on the next day to let her know that what had happened. The hard part was that in between the time of when this happened and the next day, is when I found out that my cousin passed away in Iraq. He was killed. He was serving the United States Marines over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out around 9:30, 10 o'clock that next morning that he had passed away. He was 21 years old.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
For 6 months, I couldn't go. I couldn't be there by myself in that church, in that room, past dark. Usually on choir rehearsal nights, when the choir left, I left. So there was none of the extra 8 hours of practicing. I did what I had to do in the daytime. And that went on for about 6 months. But I did tell the pastor the next day what had happened. I left all lights on. That I just kind of sympathized. She says, well, you weren't the only one that had an experience. So part of me feels like that maybe what I had felt was my cousin's passing, whatever the time was over where he was stationed in Iraq. And
I don't think it was a coincidence.
No.
Jeez.
But that was my one story.
Oh. Sorry for the loss of your cousin.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I'm
but
sorry.
He definitely came in to say goodbye.
Yeah,
yeah, that's for sure.
But now I remember you telling me this story years ago when we talked about it, because we had actually visited. You had to get something out of your aunt's house. That was a creepy place. Mm-hmm. And he explained the whole story to me then, and it was just like, one, I didn't know your cousin had passed at that time. Two, being, you know, for that to happen, so many people have had that same experience. And it's well documented where people, when a family member passes, they feel
it. I mean, sometimes I like to try to debunk it, but there are some things that I just can't
explain. No, you can't. There's some things you just can't debunk.
It's like Brittany's pulling some cards for a spiritual reading.
Yes.
So let's go to that.
Right. So we want to bring back the...
Yes, we unfortunately...
Inspirational message.
Unfortunately, last week I completely forgot about it. That's my fault for that one. I kind of skipped over it, so... But you have four cards dealt?
I do have four cards dealt.
Okay, so what do you got?
So, I am pulling from The Green Witch Tarot by Anne Mora. Sorry if I butcher your name. But that is the deck I am using. So, I pulled four cards. I pulled the Page of Wands, Ten of Wands, the Lord of Shadows, and Seven of Chalices. And the message I'm getting is a lot of people right now are trying to manifest new. You're trying to get that new job, get that new house, spruce up that room. You want something new. You're ready for whatever this decision you're making. You want clean slate. You want new. It's saying that you have to, or you have had to, cross a lot of obstacles and paths to get there. It was hard work to get to this point where you're like, okay, I need a clean start.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to let things go in this process. It might have to be people, maybe a bad habit, maybe a habit that no longer serves a purpose anymore within your life. But once you let go of this thing that's holding you back from that clean slate, you'll be able to start working on that journey that you're going on. And you'll have everything that you need to get there. You're in a transformation stage. So just keep an eye out for that and don't give up on what you're manifesting.
Very positive. Very positive.
I think everybody can use some good news about, you know, about now. Everything's been going on last year and beginning of this year.
Yeah,
and everything.
It's
so
been
nuts. Yeah, so...
It's affected us worldwide. So.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here
and sharing their stories
tonight.
And our call-in guest, John, for him joining us this evening and then speaking on Dudley Town. Mm-hmm. Again, that's one creepy place I will never, ever go if they even open remotely say, hey, we're open for business. No way.
So this just proves that even though with viruses that you can call in to our podcast to tell your stories and stay completely safe.
Absolutely.
And anonymous.
Exactly. So if you have a story you want to share with us, please reach out to us. If there's a story you want to share, if you want to get on, we can get you in via Zoom or... As we did the call-in tonight. So, exactly.
We don't have an issue.
No, we don't. If you have anything you want us to look at or need an investigation, let us know, please. That's what we're here for. We're here to help. So, until next time, I'm your host, John McManus.
I'm Diana McManus.
And around the table.
I'm Jen.
I'm Joe.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Brian.
I'm Stuart.
We are
Living Ghost Hunters!